Let's go to Luke chapter 15, if y'all can stand. I don't usually do this, but I've got a very long text today. I've got 32 verses of scripture to read for my text. And I don't normally do this on a Sunday morning, but Paul told Timothy, he said, until I come, give attention to reading. And what that meant was the public reading of scripture. And so Carl's going to have the words right up here on the screen. I was wondering, is there anybody that'll read the first 8 verses? And then, Brian, you can read verses 1 through 8. Who will read verses 9 through 16? Sister Kristen? Then who will read verses 17 through, what are we doing here? Okay, 32, 8. So 24. Sister Carmen, and then Sister Shields, you do the last 8 verses, okay? So, Brother Brian, if you would go ahead and come on up and hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord today.
Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seeks diligently until she finds it?
Amen. Sister Kristen, if you'd start at verse 9.
And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And he said, "There was a man who had 2 sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in the country and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything."
Amen. Now, Sister Carmen, we're going to pass the baton to you, and if you can read verses 17 through 24.
"And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee."
Yes.
And I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. And they began to be married."
Carol Lee, if you can, you will be reading the last of the passage.
"Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him..."
Not a good reader, always get emotional.
No problem. It's all, this is the word of God.
Your brother has come and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive, and he was lost and is found.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you very much. We're gonna look at this passage. I want to talk about, this title doesn't really sound very apropos, I guess, but answering according to their folly. And you'll see what I mean. Jesus answered the Pharisees and the scribes according to their own folly. So let's pray today. God, we're so thankful for your word. Lord, we're gathered here with reverence and respect and the fear of the Lord, knowing that this is your word. And God, we want this down, not just in our ears, but we want this in our hearts, God. Write your word in on the tables of our hearts, God, that we can just not hear it, but we can believe it, that we can live it, and that we can love it, God. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated today. This is a very large passage, and I could spend a whole week on each one of these parables. But I wanted to bring all of these parables together today, and I will tell you why. All of these parables today are all go together. If you really want to know what was going on here and what was Jesus saying and what did it mean to the Pharisees that were listening to him, if you really want to know the whole breadth of it, you're going to have to put all of these parables together into one teaching, because Jesus was teaching them not three lessons with three parables, but he was teaching them one lesson. Amen. And you've got to go through these parables to find this out. And the very theme of this, if you'll look in verse number two, if you'll look on verse two, it says, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, and they're talking about Jesus, saying, this man receives sinners and even eats with them. And then the very next verse was Jesus responding to their accusation. So we've already read three parables today. We're going to go through those three parables. All three of those parables are Jesus' response to verse 2. Understand that. All three of the parables that Jesus is going to get, that we're going to go over this morning, is Jesus responding to them saying, this man here, he receives sinners and even eats with them. And I'm going to go out on a little bit of a limb here, because I know you've heard maybe different teaching or preaching on these parables, but I'm going to go out and say right ahead of time that all three of these parables are rebukes to the Pharisees and the scribes. If you want to, as far as personal application, fine, that's great, but you got to understand, what did it mean in the beginning when Jesus said, and all of these were rebukes to the Pharisees. And if you go to verse 4, he says, what man among you, having 100 sheep, if he lost one of them, does not he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? One thing that's kind of interesting here is, how many sheep were there? A total. 100. But then the next parable is a woman that had coins. How many were there? 10. There was 10 coins. Yes, Sister Kristen. How many sons are there? So you notice he's going from 1 in 100. Because remember, there was sheep. 1 in 100. Down to 1 in 10. And then the very last one is just 1 in 2. Okay? So you see how these parables, how there's a flow here and how we're going to try to get somewhere and get our minds around this passage. And so he says, if he had 100 sheep, would he not go and get after one of them? And Jesus, I think, kind of sat there and waited for their response. And this is my opinion. This next thing is just the opinion of Tim Wiggins. And if you don't want to disagree with this, just please feel free to do it. But in my opinion, that story should have been a little bit familiar to the scribes and the Pharisees. Should have been a little familiar. Because, in other words, if I was to start telling something and it sounded a whole lot like, Goldilocks and the Three Bears, I called it something else, you would say, wait, that's a good story, Brother Wiggins, but it sounds too much like Goldilocks and Three Bears. Well, Jesus was telling a parable here, and if you go to Ezekiel 34, verses 11 and 12, this parable is talking about a shepherd, a good shepherd, that has a lost sheep, and he goes and he seeks that sheep out, and he brings that sheep back. Well, look at the parable, look at the shepherd in Ezekiel 34, verse 11. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all of the places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. So when those Pharisees and those scribes looked over and saw Jesus talking with publicans and sinners, who were the publicans and sinners? The lost sheep. Okay? They were the lost sheep. And this little passage in Ezekiel even gets darker. It's something, how you get into reading sometimes a novel or something. There's been times I've gotten into reading novels and I say, wow, man, I didn't realize it was going to be this dark when I started it. And this story is a little bit dark because we read verses 11 and 12 and it talks about a good shepherd that goes and seeks out his sheep because they're what? Scattered. Well, why were they scattered in Ezekiel 34? Well, let's look at verses 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. The word of the Lord came unto me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. In other words, prophesy against those guys that are the teachers, the guys that are the scribes, the Pharisees. It says, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding the sheep? No. Feeding yourselves. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up. That was the problem, and that was why the sheep were getting scattered. And when Jesus started into this parable about a man that's got a sheep that's lost, I wonder if some of those Pharisees, if their mind went to Ezekiel 34 and realized that Jesus, in a very indirect way, was saying, yeah, the sheep are scattered, and the reason they're scattered is not because they're worldly, it's not because they're carnal, it's not because they love the world, the reason they're scattered is because you have scattered them. You've abused them. You've spiritually abused the sheep. You've bruised them. And it says here in the passage that it says verse 4 and 5, it says when he's found, in Luke 15, it says that when he's found, what does that shepherd do? Verse 5, it says, and when he's found, what does he do? He lays it on his shoulders. What does that mean? Why? It's too weak. Speculate. I'm just going to speculate here. I'm wondering if the sheep truly ever got lost, or if he was just too weak to catch up, to keep up. And so here he is. He can't go anymore. He's too weak. The shepherd goes and he finds him. And he says, listen, I'm going to carry you on my shoulders until I can make you strong enough to where you could run with the rest of the sheep. But yet in the rebuke in Ezekiel 34, he rebuked the shepherds and says, listen, you have not made the weak any stronger. But in this parable, Jesus was telling the Pharisees, listen, a real shepherd is going to strengthen the weak. They're going to heal up the injured. They're going to feed the sheep. And so that was kind of rebuke number one. You notice in verse 6, and this is going to come out real important in this last parable. Look at verse 6. It says, when he comes home, he puts that sheep on his shoulders, and he comes home, and what happens with his friends and neighbors? It says that he calls together his friends and neighbors saying what? Oh, let's rejoice. Because true friends and true neighbors are going to be happy that that lost sheep got found. If you're a true friend of this shepherd, if you're a true neighbor of this shepherd, you're actually going to be happy. You say, well, Brother Wiggins, what are you getting at? You're going to have to wait. Let's look at parable two. Says, and what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? Well, let's put a little bit of background to this. And I'm going to go out and I'm going to speculate a little bit. But she had 10 silver coins. And in the original language, this is a drachma, which was actually not a piece of Roman currency. It was a piece of Greek currency. Currency that was, I guess, left over from Alexander the Great's kingdom and stuff. And she has 10 of these coins. And a drachma was equal to a denarius, and a denarius was one day's wages. Okay, one coin was a day's wages. So if you were making, let's make it easy for my feeble mind, 8-hour day, $12 an hour is $96, am I right? So that little coin would be one day's wages. And she had 10 of them. Okay? Now, that sounds good. You say, well, man, that woman's got some money. Well, this is where we're going to speculate a little bit. What I'm fixing to say, I didn't just read in one commentary. I read this across several. Most historians say this was probably her dowry. It's almost universally agreed that this was probably her dowry. What they would do is on their wedding dress, there would be a string of coins. That would be like a headdress on your wedding day. That was your dowry. Well, what's a dowry for? Well, if I don't know. Go watch Fiddler on the Roof or something. I don't. But I'll tell you what a dowry is. When that woman married that man, laws were messed up in those days. When she married that man, if he died or got killed, did she get what they've... In the state of Oregon, it's a community property state. If I die tomorrow, and I want to live a long time, but if I die tomorrow, every penny I've got goes to that woman right there. She gets it. But it wasn't like that. And she would walk away with nothing. She would overnight become a widow, or maybe her husband desert her. And what did a woman have? All she had was her dowry to live off of. Okay? So you think, man, 10 coins at $120 a coin or $100 a coin, that's a lot of money. Well, is it enough money to live for several years on? So was this woman wealthy? She was probably very simple and very poor. And she had a very small dowry. And remember, Jesus had rebuked the Pharisees, saying, you steal from widows. You steal from them. You use widows' penury to line your pockets. And what Jesus is showing in this parable is, listen, a good shepherd's going to care about not just about the important people. He's also going to remember the orphan. He's also going to remember the widow. And it says that she found that. She turned on a light. And she swept the floor and she found it. And then guess what? After she finds it, guess what happens? She does the same exact thing that the other guy did, the first guy did. As soon as she finds it, look at verse 9. Who does she call? Her friends and her neighbors saying, come and rejoice with me because I had lost 20, or excuse me, I'd lost 10% of my dowry. And I found it. That one coin, that $100 might not be a lot to you, but to a poor widow, that to a woman that would be a, possibly be a widow, that means a lot. And she says, please rejoice with me. And a true friend and a true neighbor is going to be happy. Here's where it gets sticky. Out of these three parables, the main parable is the last one we're fixing to cover. The last parable is the one we're fixing to cover. This is the one where Jesus rolls it all together. I'm going to submit to you right now. Remember in the first parable, that lost sheep was symbolic of the lost sheep of the tribe of Israel, right? Which were the ones that Jesus was talking to that they didn't like him talking to. They said, you're eating with publicans and sinners. Jesus is saying, I'm eating with the lost and I'm trying to find them. The second one, that lost coin, was another type of who? The lost sheep in Israel. The lost people in Israel. The ones that Jesus was talking to that the Pharisees did not want him talking to. I'm going to tell you right now that this lost son in what they call the prodigal is another type of the lost men and women that were Israelites that Jesus was trying to go out and find them. Remember he told that woman once when she said, hey, my daughter's got a devil. And he said, I'm not sent but to what? The lost sheep of the house of Israel. Remember that? So that young prodigal guy that leaves is the lost sheep of Israel. And if he's the lost sheep of Israel, who's his older brother? Somebody give me a guess. The scribes and the Pharisees, Sister Kristen. See how this is kind of beginning to take some shape and some form? Now in parable number one, when that guy found that sheep, he called to his neighbor and says, hey, let's rejoice, let's be happy. I found the sheep that was lost. And everybody, true neighbors and true friends rejoiced. Parable number two, she called her neighbors and friends, and what did they do? Rejoice. Let's all be happy. If anybody would be happy, if anybody should be thrilled, you know, it done my heart good when to find out that Brother Eddie's brother is recovering. When I was sick with COVID, my two sisters and my brother were about to worry themselves to death over my wife. I think they love her more than they love me. I don't know how that works, but I think they care more for her than they do for me. But anyway, when we started improving, that's when we found out just how worried that they had been for us. And I know how Brother Eddie would have felt. So who should have been the happiest guy out there when his brother came home? That older brother. I'm going to tell you when this started clicking in my head. Sister Wiggins, I was in Valencia, Spain with, we had gone down there and you guys were all in that Yadro factory and me and Bill Markham. Brother Markham had to stay out and watch the stuff, all the suitcases and stuff. And we got to talking about that. And here's an elder missionary that's been in the mission field for years. He told me, he goes, Brother Wiggins, he goes, I was thinking about that parable and I sat up in bed one night. When it dawned on me. I said, what dawned on you, Brother Markham? He said, that older brother was good for nothing. He was a dirty dog. He says, people think it's the younger brother that went out and blew all of his money. You know, what's the old saying? You know, I spent some of my money on wine, some of my money on women, and some of my money on song, and the rest I wasted. You know, well, that's kind of what happened here. And Brother Markham told me, he goes, Brother Wiggins, that older brother was a dirty dog. And I thought, why is he, you know, why? And that, but he never would tell me why he was a dirty dog. And think about it here. I've had some years to percolate and think about this passage. And think about this here. If you look, his brother was what? Starving. The brother says, I got to find the verse here. It says that his brother was out there, said there was a famine in the land. Carl, help me out and find it. There was a famine in the land. His brother had spent all of his money, all of his inheritance, had no more money for food. There was a famine in the land. He was basically starving to death, and he was feeding pigs, which if you were a Jew, that was the lowest possible job you could have. And so here he is having to feed these unclean animals, and he's looking at the food that he's feeding them and thinking about eating it himself. Why? Because he's on the very brink of starvation. But here's the deal, and this is why Brother Markham was right. That older brother was a dirty, no good so-and-so. When his brother looked up and saw that his younger brother had came back and they were going to throw a party for him, that brother was like, listen, Dad's getting old, and as soon as he gets old, who gets all this? I do. So the fatted calf that we're killing for my brother right now to throw a party, whose calf would that be in the inheritance? That would be my calf. All of this, and now he's going to come back, and he's going to need a place to live, and it's going to cost me more money out of my inheritance to take care of my deadbeat brother. But here's the part that Brother Markham, I'm sure, was referring to. So you mean to tell me you would rather have your brother die of starvation out there just because you're not willing to give up a little bit of your inheritance? Are you so cruel? Are you so selfish? Are you so one person minded that your brother is out there? He made a horrible mistake. He did a stupid thing. He was a fool, but now he's back. He's repenting. He says, Father, I'm not even worthy to be your son. Just let me be a servant. Just let me be here. And here you are sitting here saying, yeah, but this is going to cost me some money. And, you know, I can't help but wonder. I know this is too far out on a limb, and I wasn't even going to say this today. But I just wonder, in my mischievous mind here, if those stoic, self-righteous Jews that were there that day and looked down on Jesus because he was eating with sinners, trying to evangelize them, trying to reach for their souls. I just wonder if one of those could have been a long-lost brother of one of those scribes and Pharisees. Or he'd said, man, you would rather your brother die out in the world, to die and fall under the judgment of God, than to come back into the kingdom just because you think it might somehow affect you. You know what? I want to tell you something, church. It's not fair. And I'm closing this down here pretty quick. It's not fair. I've told you the story of Leo Ricks. Let me tell you the story of Leo Ricks again. Leo Ricks lived like the devil. And he had had 6 heart attacks. Because that kind of living does that. Nolan McGuire from my home church, our home church, Sister Wiggins, was doing a construction site, doing a renovation on a house. And this is my last, I'm going to shut it down after this. And he was nailing boards together, and he looked over and he saw this elderly man on the front porch. And no one thought, I ought to go over and witness to him. And he thought, no, I'm just too embarrassed. And he finally couldn't help anymore. He went over there and witnessed to Leo Ricks. Went over there and said, what's your name? He goes, my name's Leo Ricks. He goes, what are you doing? He said, I just got out of the hospital yesterday, heart attack number 6. Just sitting here trying to feel better. And Nolan said, you know what? You need to get right with God. You 6 heart attacks, it's time to get right with God. And I can remember the night that Leorix attended his first service there in Madeira. I remember a couple of weeks later when we baptized Leorix. I remember Leorix praying at the altar and everybody rejoicing, saying, he got it, he got it, he got it, he got it, he got it. And remember Leorix told me, he said, for the first time in my life, I'm ready. I'm ready. God can take me. I'm ready. Did you know what? Leorix would come to church, and man, he just wouldn't hardly miss any church services. He was there, man, but not for very long. Less than 90 days after he got baptized, he had number 7. Somebody that's been, Sister Carmen, you've been going to church for a long time. Sister Kristen, you've been going to church for a long time. Brother Carl, you've done it just about all your life. Sister Josie, just about all your life. Brian, you've been coming along, all of us been coming a long time. I don't even have to name any more names. And to say, wait a second. You mean I have to go and withstand all this temptation, go through all of these trials, all of these Christian trials, all of these refining moments, and try to live like a Christian in this fallen world for all these years, through all of these struggles, and then some guy 90 days before he dies manages to slip into a baptistry and pray through, and now he's going to go to heaven and he's going to get a reward just like me? That's what that older brother was thinking. Remember Jesus had the parable about some of the workers in the field got mad because some workers in the field worked from sun up all day, but in the middle of the day, they needed more workers, so he went. He goes, I'll pay you the same amount. Just get out there and get to work. And remember, so some of the guys only had to pay. And then some of them didn't get on and start working until the last couple hours of the day, and they all got paid the same. And the guys that had worked all day says, that's not fair. Well, you just better be happy that none of us get what would really be fair. Because if you got what you really deserved, let's just put it this way, it'd be a stocking full of coal. Let's all stand today. I want to tell you something. When it comes to the riches of his kingdom, don't worry. If you're that older brother and you see your backslidden younger brother coming back, don't worry. There's going to be plenty of inheritance, plenty of riches to go around. It doesn't, but Brother Wiggins, you don't understand. I've been faithful to God for decades. Decades I have. And this person comes in here and doesn't hardly do nothing, and they're going to get a reward like mine. You know what? I want to tell you something. When that day happens and you get your reward, you will be so thrilled. You will be so happy. When you're standing among the presence of angels and you look over there and there's the throne of God, and you realize, I made it. It'll be good enough. It will be good enough. God will be good enough. Jesus, nobody is going to step away from the master's table and say, wow, I thought it would have been better than this. No. Paul referred it to the unsearchable. In other words, you can't even research it. He said, Paul referred to it as the unsearchable riches of Christ. The unsearchable. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let's just worship the Lord today. God, I love you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, I praise you, God. God, I bless your name, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. She's going to sing, and let's just take a few moments to seek the Lord today. Let's call on Him.
Jesus, Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. When I about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how He picked me up and turned me around, how He placed my feet on solid ground, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. When I think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how He picked me up, turned me around, how He placed my feet on solid ground. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise.
Oh, let's worship the Lord today. God, I love you, Jesus. God, I love you, Jesus. Let's do this as we're being dismissed. You know, months, over a year ago, because of the pandemic, we stopped coming down forward. But, you know, there's not a lot of us today, and there's plenty of room down here to have some social distance. And if you feel uncomfortable, you don't have to come. But let's, as we're prayer dismissal, let's, if you would, for a few moments, let's come down to the front. You know, I don't want to re-preach my message. But let me just say this before we pray and dismissal. One point that I forgot in my notes. The first parable was just about a sheep, a lamb. And there was 99 others. The second parable was about an inanimate coin that couldn't experience feeling or emotions or fear or love or anything. The last one, the last parable, wasn't about a lamb, was not about a coin. It was about a brother. It was about a brother. And that's where Jesus was sitting back and saying, man, you mean to tell me I'm over there talking to these sinners, that these are people that have backslidden out of the Jewish religion and I am trying to seek and to save the lost, and you guys don't? This is your own countrymen. These are your own brethren. And you don't want me reaching for them. Wow. Wow. Reminds me of the verse, and I failed to put it in my notes, where Jesus told him one place. He said, woe unto you Pharisees. He says, because not only do you not enter into the kingdom, you're trying to keep people out that want to enter into the kingdom. You know what? That's what Jesus was talking about today. Apply it to your life, however. I'm not even going to tell you how to apply it. But that's what Jesus was talking about. And oh God, I'm just thankful to be in the church. I'm just thankful to be saved. And God, if in your mercy you save, it doesn't matter if I stay in church for 70 years. God, if you save somebody and give them the same reward, and they only, you know what, God, I'm good. I'm good, Lord. I'm good. Let's lift our hands and worship the Lord. God, I thank you, Jesus. God, I thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, I love you, God. God, I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name.